saw yesterday in the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph that the Mishnah wants the mitzvah to be done, a mitzvah sayom, from Hanetzach Cham. Rashi says that that's the time that's Vadayom. And the Turi Evan says that according to Rashi, not only the list of mitzvos in the Mishnah, the enumerated list, has to wait till Hanetzach Chama, but everything that's listed in the next Mishnah, Daf Chaf Amud Beis, also should not be implemented from Alos HaShachar. Even though the Mishnah doesn't make that point. And now, the Turi Evan asks Akasha from a Braisa. This Braisa is quoted in Brochos Daf Lamed. Hayotzi L'derech is Yochel Lito Lulav L'Iskah Shofar L'Fnei Anetz. So you'd have to say that that Braisa is addressing a situation of Shasad Chak. And then the Braisa adds Umevim Lo Megillah V'Kore. And that for sure should not be done until after Hanetzach Chama, as it says in our Mishnah. So that even though our Mishnah does not mention Lulav and Shofar, but the same din would apply straight across the board, that we should wait till Hanetzach Chama. And that's what Rashi says, that until Hanetz, even after Amud HaShachar, it's Safek Yom. Now it's possible that Yotze L'Derech, that they allowed him to take the Lulav and blow the Shofar before Hanetz, that might be a case of Yotze B'Derech L'Dvar Mitzvah. The Rashash asks the following question on the Turi Evan. He says, Hakramas HaKarban, meaning the Karban Tomin, is Manu Kol Hayom, as it says in the Gemara Yuma, Daf Chof Ches Omer Aleph, and in Masech de Brachos, on Daf Yud Aleph and Beis, they didn't wait to be Makriv, the Karban, the Tomin, until Hanetzach Chama. And even L'chat Chila, they would be Makriv, the Karban, after Amud HaShachar. So that seems to be a contradiction to everything we've been saying until now. So if you look at the Pnei Yoshua in Brachos Adav Tesam in Beis, he gives the following answer in Tomid. Since we have a principle, Kohanim's reason, hey, we don't have to worry that they'll make a mistake between Laila and Yom. And the Rashash asks, the Mishnah mentions Musafim here on Daf Chofam in Beis, which is Karban Musaf. And that's already in the Mikdash. So why don't we apply the principle of Kohanim's reason him? Whereas according to Turi Evan, whatever it says in the next Mishnah is included in the first Mishnah, which would mean that we should postpone the Akrava from Alos HaShachar until after Hanetzach Chama, except for a case of Shasad Chak. Now Musaf was brought in the Beis HaMikdash by Kohanim, who has reason. So perhaps we could say that there are two Zmanim of Hanetzach Chama, and now we're talking about the early of Hanetzach Chama, which is an issue, and therefore it depends on Kohanim's reason and so forth. But in any event, the Hakravas HaTovin was after Hanetzach Chama, the earlier Zman of Hanetzach Chama. Yesterday we had a discussion about the case of Megillah, and the derivation that Megillah has to be read after Hanetzach Chama. If you take a look in the Rashba, in the Ritva, in our Mishnah, he says the following. They say the following: Shalom Nishnu b'Mishnah Zuel Adinim Sheish Bem Chivush. Every mitzvah that's mentioned here, every din that's mentioned in our Mishnah has a chivush. For example, the chiddush of Megillah is to tell us that even though there's a chiyuv of Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla, nevertheless, he does not fulfill his obligation by reading the Megillah Balayla. He has a separate chiyuv Kriya B'Yom. Or in the case of Mila, the chiddush is that even in Mila Shalom Bezmana, it's after the eighth day of the baby's birth, nevertheless, we require Yom for Mila. In the case of Lo Tovlin, if you speak about Tefilas Ezov, that's the sheet of the Riva in Tosfos, then the chiddush is that it's not enough that the Hazah be by day, that even the Tefillah Sa'ezov, for the purpose of Hazah, to set up the Hazah, also needs Yom. And once the Mishnah mentions Ein Tovlin, and Derech Agav it mentions Velo Mazin, which is a hemshich of the same theme. Now, in the case of Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, the Gemara is going to say that it's not enough to do a Shiva B'Mitzas Hayom, and that's a Chiddush in and of itself. Now, as far as Tevila is concerned, that the Mishnah establishes Ein Tovlin El Bayom, in the Sechta Parah, the 12th parak, it says, Toval Esa Ezo Bayom, Vehizo Bayom Kosher. Bayom, Vehizo Balaila, or Balaila, Vehizo Bayom, Posel. Avalhu Atzno, Tovil Balaila, Mazim Bayom, Shein Mazim Ad Hanetzacham, Avakulan Shasim Yashalu Amunashachar Kosher. So it's clear that Tvila Saguf lends itself to a Tvila Balaila. And the Rishonim now ask on Rashi, who says that Ein Tovlin Kipshuto means Letame Shehigiyaz Mano Shiochol Litbol Yischai Lahamtin Ad Lamochar. According to this Rashi, it's explicit in that Mishnah that Tvila requires Yom, requires Boker, Chai Lahamtin Ad Boker, whereas the Mishnah Masechta Parah seems to indicate that it's enough to be totally Balaila. So Tosis Yontav asks his Kasha, and therefore he interprets that according to Rashi, this only applies in Tefillah B'Shvi. But as far as Tefillah after Shvi, then he can be totally Balaila. Morning, Jerry. How are you? Shavua Tov. It comes out that our Mishnah is talking about a case where he was Tovil B'Yom HaShvi, and on Yom HaShvi he needs Tvila B'Yom. The Mishnah in Parah is talking about a case where we pass Shivas Yomim, and there he could be Tovil, whether B'Yom or B'Laila, before Hazah, after Hazah, and so forth and so on. Just wanted to mention that something we left out in the Gemara here of the Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, it says Ein Mevi'in Raya Min HaKatan. Rabbi Nachman says Katan is not Roy Lahoyt. The Mishnah Ksuba says that in something that's the Rabbana we do trust the Katan if he testifies as a Gadol that on that which he saw Bekatnusa. So since Kriyas HaMegillah is only been Rabbanon, why did the Chachamim say that he's not believed to be made what he saw in his katan when he was a katan? Why shouldn't we believe him with that edus if it's on a mitzvah derabbanon? So Tosfos really asks his kasha, and he says that since the Megillah is derived from Psukim in Tanakh, therefore it's ke'em do'oraisa. And the Rav Yor writes that even if we'll say that Megillah is derabbanon, we could say that Rabbi Tarfon was Yotzi Dechova before, earlier, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda did not make a mecha, he did not oppose, he did not protest, if he would read it a second time, just like we say by Tekiyah Shofar, in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Lamed Gimel, Ein Ma'akvin Es HaTekiyos L'Tekoa Shuv Li'achar Shekvar Toko Kulon. And a similar answer we find in the Birkei Yosef, that even if he's never on his edus, but nevertheless that's not enough for us, because it's still possible that Rabbi Tarfon and his Kedim read it again a second time after Rabbi Yud had left, and they didn't rely on his kriya. The Sfasevus writes, Shalohem, Minu Likoton Bidrabbanon El Bidvarm She'ein Bahem Birur Lifnei Chachamim, Fadomer Mutal B'Safek. So in other words, we can rely on a katan for the Rabbanans if it's something that has no, there's no possibility of clarification. Avokan Yodu Chachamim Sadin B'Birur She'ein Katan Motzi Dechovas Kriya Samegillah. Elo She'im Hoysa Eidus Gemura Shal Adam Gadol. Now, what's the din if a person read the Megillah after Amud HaShachar and before Hanetzacham. So yesterday we saw in the Mishnah that for the mitzvah of Megillah you have to wait till Hanetzacham.
Yeah.
So here's a case that's brought up in the poskim. Gershin is Gayer Kodem Hanetzacham. And if you assume that before Hanetzacham is Lila, then he should be chayv in Kriyas Lila. If on the other hand you assume that once there's Amud HaShachar, that's already enough for Yom, so this Ger would Nisgayer by Yom, and therefore he's potter from Kriyas Lila. So the Magen Avraham says that from the fact that the Sefer HaMinhagim and others speak about Gershin as Gayer, it would seem that a regular Adam Yisrael, he's already chayv in Kriyas Laila, and let's say he didn't read the Megillah for whatever reason, and now it was after Amud HaShachar, so he's going to have to read the Megillah of Laila before Hanetzacham. So here's a chiddush in the Magen Avraham that you could be Yotzei Megillah of Laila after Amud HaShachar before Hanetzacham. Even though the Mishnah seems to assume that Yom begins with Hanetzacham, I'm sorry, that Yom start again, that Yom begins with Amud HaShachar, but nevertheless, in a situation where he did not fulfill his mitzvah of Kriyas Laila, he can do so after Amud HaShachar. And it's still, to some extent, Laila. And the proof of the Magen Avraham is from Kriyat Shema. Because the din of Kriyat Shema is that if a person did not daven Ma'ariv, he did not recite Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, he's allowed to daven Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis after Alos HaShachar. And that would be a kiyum of Kriyat Shema Shel Laila. So the Magen Avraham proves, based on this analogy to Kriyat Shema, that if you did not read the Megillas Laila until after Amud HaShachar, you can still be Yotze as long as it's before Hanetzacham. However, the later poskim disagree with the Magen Avraham. And you'll see the Adafrayim and others, they say the following, that the fact that you can be Yotze Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis after Amud HaShachar, that's a separate din in Kriyat Shema, because in Kriyat Shema it never says Yom and it never says Laila, it just says Ubeshalvacha Uvekumecha. So we need Zman Shechiva. And since most people are still sleeping until Hanetzacham, unless you daven in the early minyan here, so then you're up way before Hanetzacham, although we're getting close to Hanetzacham. So it's still called Zman Shechiva. So as far as Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis is concerned, even though it's technically Yom Al Pi Din for other mitzvahs, but you can be Yotze Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis because it's still called Zman Shechiva. Now, what would be the case of Mila if, for whatever reason, by accident, they were Mal before Hanetzacham? Meaning after Amud HaShachar. So the Mishnah says, Kulam sha'olu sha'osu misha'olu Amud HaShachar kosher. That would mean kosher, but lo yotzi dechovasa. That's the Me'iri. The Me'iri says the following, that if they did the meal of the child before Hanetzacham, they did not fulfill their mitzvah of Mila, but the child is Nimo. He's not an Orel. And the Beis Yosef in Yoredei Simon Reish Samach Beis writes that you'll need another Hatofas Bris in order to be Yotzi Dechovas Mila, because the Mila was done before Hanetzacham. But many Rishonim seem to indicate that you don't need another Mila. That when it says Kulam Sha'alu Sha'asu Mi'ashalu Amud HaShachar Kosher, that if the Mila was done before Hanetzacham, nevertheless it would be a Mila Kshera. And the reason for that is because with Amud HaShachar, Yom begins. If you had done the Mila Balayla, let's say before Amud HaShachar, then for sure the Mila would not be Chal, and you would need Atofas Tamriz. But in this case, when the Mila was done after Amud HaShachar, then it's kosher. Not like the Beis Yosef who says you'd need another milah, which means a hatofas dambris. Now yesterday we spoke about the word yom, or yomim. Hayomim elu nizkar v'nas, and that yom comes to exclude laila. Now we have a sfasemis. The sfasemis quotes the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah says on the pasuk basukos teshu shivas yomim. From the word yomim, the Gemara derives that he's chayv to sit in the sukkah both by day and by night. So here we have a precedent to prove, I think this is Eric was your problem yesterday, that the word yom means even laila. But as the Sfasemis points out, there seems to be a stira in the Gemara itself in sukkah, forget about our sugya, because by lulav, the Gemara derives the pasuk from the pasuk this usmachtem lifnei Hashem alkechem shivas yomim v'lo leilos. So there's a certain level of inconsistency here. Our whole sugya from beginning to end, and we're going to see it again today in the next Mishnah Chafam in Beis, assumes that whenever it says yom, it's the exclusion of laila. But the Gemara in sukkah, at least as far as the mitzvah of sukkah is concerned, yeshiva b'sukkah incorporates both yom and laila, because it says yomim, and yom means the entire unit, 24 hours. Now the Sfasemis comes to the conclusion that the rule is yomim means yomim and not leilos. That is the general rule. The exception to the rule is going to be yomim including also leilos. How do you generate an exception to the rule? So he says, if you look carefully in the Gemara in Sukkah, the maskana of the Gemara there is that it's not enough to rely on the pasuk yomim. The Gemara also needs a gzeirah shava. In other words, when it says yomim, it means yomim and not leilos. And you're going to need another pasuk to indicate that yomim includes even laila. So that seems to be the exception to the rule. Okay, that's what I wanted to point out as far as that. So let's go back to where we're up to in the Gemara. And we're now on Daf Chaf Amid Beis. And we're almost at the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Amid Beis. We just have a little piece to fill in, which starts about line 6, and it says, Ella Om Rab Zera Mehacha. Do you have that? So the first word in the line is Rabbi Zera. So just to clue you in on what we did yesterday, we decided yesterday that the source for the halacha that Amud HaShachar is considered Yom is Rava quotes the pasuk Vayikra Lakim La'ar Yom, and La'ar Yom according to Rava means Lemeir Uba, so it means before the sun actually rises, there's light on the horizon, that's enough to be considered Yom, and that's Misha'Olah Amud HaShachar. But the Gemara rejects Rava, because if that would be the case, then we consistently would have to interpret the pasuk Lachoshech Kara Laila as Machshech Uba Kara Laila, which would mean that even before it's Laila, it's already Laila. Why? It's Machshech Uba. It's getting dark. What does that mean? It's getting dark. The sun is already set. And Gemara says that's not so. That Laila, only the inception of Laila depends upon Seisako Chov. Ela Amar Rab Zera. Rab Zera has an alternate source for the Aloch of Amud HaShachar. Misha Ola Amud HaShachar Yotza. How? Mihocha. And this pasuk is in Sefer Nehemiah, and it's describing the building of the Chomas Yerushalayim. When the Jews came up from Golus Bavel, they built a Choma around Yerushalayim. There were lots of opponents and adversaries of the Jewish people, especially when the Jews started building the Beis HaMikdash. And the pasuk describes the Osei HaMalacha, those who were in charge of the work of building the Chomas Yerushalayim. When did they begin that day? When did they end that day? And the pasuk testifies, "Vanachnu osim malacha." They divide up the people into two groups. Chetzio machzikim beramachim. There were those who were charged of security. They would, circle around the Chomas Yerushalayim to make sure that the adversaries did not try to stop them from building the Beis HaMikdash. And when did the Osei HaMalacha begin their work? Me'alos HaShachar. So here it's pretty outspoken. You can't, Reb Seir says, you can't erase these two words. It says, Me'alos HaShachar. When did they finish their work day? It says, Ad Seis HaKochovim. In other words, the day begins with Alos HaShachar and ends with Seis HaKochovim. Now, if Reb Seir would have quit here, it would have been fine. But then he goes on and he says, V'omer, and he quotes another pasuk. Also in the same context there in Nehemiah Perek Daled. And it says, V'hoyu lanu halayla mishmar v'yom milocha. So the Gemara asks, my V'omer, what did Reb Seir, why did he feel compelled to add a second pasuk? We already established that the day begins with Amonu Shachar and ends with Seis HaKochavim. So what was bothering Reb Seir? And the solution to his problem he found in the second pasuk. And the answer is that there's not enough proof from the first pasuk that day begins with Amonu Shachar. Because v'chi tema, if you want to argue that Mishaola Amonu Shachar lav yimama, even if you want to suggest that you have to wait till Hanetzach Hama, until it's Yom, and you'll ask me, if so, so why did the workers start from Amud HaShachar? And the answer is, and also on the opposite end, at the end of the day, Michi Arva Shimsha Laila, and in truth, as soon as the sun sets, it's already Laila. And yesterday we pointed out that the pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Bereishis says Shnei Ma'oros Pirkei Hashamayim Ha'Ma'or HaGadol LeMemshel Sayom, and therefore if the Memshel Sayom is, and that it says in that pasuk LeMo'adim, is set by the Ma'or, meaning the sun, so then daybreak begins with sunrise and the day itself ends with sunset. And that's where the Gemara is now being argumentative, that maybe we should rely on that pasuk of the Ma'or HaGadol of Mishal Sayom, and therefore the day begins with Hanetz and ends with Shkia. You'll ask me, so why did the Osei HaMelacha begin with Amud HaShachar? Inu Mekadme Umachashke. What this means is that we made a mistake. We assumed that they signed a contract to work during the day. And that contract will be interpreted based on the halachic definition of day. And if that be the case, you want to derive the conclusion that the day began with Alos HaShachar. No, that's not so. They began their work even before what we call day, what the halacha recognizes and validates as day. That's called Mekadmeh. Makadmi means they wanted to start their malacha a bit early. Now, I don't know if you have any footnote here. I was looking around to see why they would start their work early. The Gemara actually says about Metzia that Polim don't have to begin their work until Hanetzach Hama. I have a sense, again, if you find any footnote, please share it with me, that the reason why they started early is because they wanted to show a certain element of zrizus. This was not just a regular job, you know, a 9-to-5 job where you punch in the clock. Here they were doing it for the sake of the glory of the Beis HaMikdash. Ultimately, although they began by surrounding the Harabayas with a choma, but nevertheless, ultimately they wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. So this was the initiation or the beginning of the process of building the Beis HaMikdash. Of Yasuli Migdash Veshachanti Besochot. So therefore they wanted to show how eager they were, and dafka they wanted to work what we call overtime, not to get paid overtime, you know, twice the pay or 1.5, but rather to show and demonstrate the zrizus and the love for the Beis HaMikdash. They would start early, before Yom, and they would end even after Yom. Not like a person who punches in a clock, like the Gemara says in Chagiga, that the standard curriculum was to review your lessons 100 times. But if you have a Talmud who decides, no, I'm not going, it's not enough for me, he ends another time, 101, he's called an Oved Hashem. And Mechashche, and therefore even after the day ended with Shkia, they would still wait until it's really pitch black, until they went home and packed their bags. They would add hours to the day of Avodah, even though technically by virtue of contract law, they were not bound to do so. So therefore, Abzera needs another pasuk. And the other pasuk is going to tell us that the first pasuk is not because of Makadme Machashle, but rather because of the definition of Yom and Laila. Toshma, listen to the second pasuk. The pasuk says, V'hoyu lanu halayla mishmar v'yom malach. At night we did the guard duty, and during the day we did the malach. For the fact that the pasuk goes out of its way to say Hayom Malacha, it means the day, as opposed to Makadme or Machashke, any part that's not part of the day itself. So it's only when you take these two psukim in context, then you see that the definition of Yom is Me'alos HaShachar, which ends with Tzeisak Ochavim. So we go back to the first pasuk now, and it says Me'alos HaShachar Ad Tzeisak Ochavim, and that's considered Yom Malacha, because the next pasuk says Yom Malacha. Now we're going to start the Mishnah.
Well, one question. So we have this. Why isn't this reliable? Why is then there the dispute over, for example, when Shabbos begins and when, like, why? If we have this as a source, what? This seems fairly clear about when day and night is, and it's cited here, and there's no other sources cited. But when it comes to, you know, the argument over when,
right?
You know,
so we're going to say the following. We're going to say that there. Yesterday we opened up the Chumash. I'm not going to go through the Chumash again, but there are two. There are two psukim. There's one pasuk that it seems to indicate that everything depends upon. What's called, just one second, what's the pasuk? It says, Vayere Vayivoker, Yom Echad, right? And then it says, Vamahora Gadol Vimshal Sayom. So it means if we take those psukim, it seems that already at Erev, we'll explain what the word Erev means, that's considered Laila, Vayerev. In fact, you know that the halacha is that, I'm trying to give you an example to demonstrate what I want to point out. Let me just say it in abstract terms, and then I'll hopefully come up with an example. The halachic day begins with Laila. The pasuk says vayi erev, vayi voker. So, for example, if I have a mitzvah of the day and I wait till the second erev, which follows the yom, I would not be in fulfillment of that mitzvah. Why? Because that erev belongs to a different time unit. It's tomorrow. It's not tonight. So we see that the pasuk vayi erev. Again, I'm looking for an example. All right, now I have an example in the back of my mind, but it's just not coming. It's not coming through. But right now, I just want to say the following: that if you take this pasuk by erev, the word erev, which initiates the day, again, you know, it's always very confusing when you use the word day. But I mean to say the halachic unit of a day, which is made up of laila and yom and ayom ha'olech achar laila, that's already with ha'erev. Ha'erev is called Harev Shemesh. Harev Shemesh means when the sun sets. There's plenty of light out. You know, there'll be light on the horizon for who knows how long. You know, it's still for a shorter period of time, but elsewhere in the world it could be as much as an hour. But that's after Shkia Sachama, and it says, Hama'or HaGadol Mevshal Sayom. So yesterday was Yom, and now it's Vayerev. What's the Vayerev? When is the transition between yesterday and today? That's going to be with Shkia Sachama, when you no longer have Mevsheles Hayom. Do you follow what I mean? The sun is no longer on the horizon. And that's going to be the definition for Moadim. So for example, for Moadim, we're going to tell you that the Moed begins with Shkia Sachama. Let me give you another example. In Kodshim, the halacha is that the avoda of the Kodesh could only be done by day. Right. Now, if you had our Gemara here, when would you assume would be the last time for the Avodah? Just based on the Gemara that we just learned now, Rav Zeira. Tzeisa Kol Chavim, right? Oh, but the halacha is that dam nifsal b'shkia sachama. So, for example, once the sun sets, you can't do vizarik the dam. which would mean that the carbon becomes possible. So you see that as far as Kachim is concerned, the day ends when the Memshalas Hayom, meaning the Hamor HaGadol, is gone. That's called Shkiyas HaChama. With regard to your standard definition of Yom and Laila, then it depends on another pasuk in the Chumash, not the pasuk of Vayera Vayvoker or Memshalas Hayom, but rather V'lachoshech Karo Laila. Do you remember that pasuk? Yesterday we saw it inside. That V'lachoshech Karo Laila, that here I identify Laila with Choshech. So when we get to that period of time where the Shkia, the sun is already set, but it's not Choshech because there's plenty of light on the horizon. Sometimes it appears as a red blotch. That's a sugya in Perek Vavim Adlikin about the redness of the sky. So that's considered Yom. Why is it considered Yom? Because Vayikra Lakim La'ar Yom. Right? Or Yom. Not the Meiruba. I'm not that. That's going to just confuse us. So forget about Meiruba. I mean literally Ar.
Right.
Ar means that there's light. As long as there's light, it's still Yom. And that's not dependent upon the Mahar HaGadol of Memshel Sayom. So your standard definition of Yom V'Laila depends upon Or and Choshech, which means that even after Shkiyas HaKam, it's still called Yom. Because La'or Yom, the Pasuk says La'or Yom, and La'choshech Karo Laila. But on the other hand, when it comes to Ma'adim, or when it comes to Beis HaMikdash, there the definition of Yom and Laila depends upon Vayera Vayvoker. So you have Harif Shemesh. For example, in Tum Vitara also, the day ends with Shkiyas HaChama. Like for example, the Kohanim could come in to eat their Truma with Shkiyas HaChama. Why? Because that's already considered Harif Shemesh. So what I'm suggesting is that although your definition of Yom and Laila is Ar and Choshech, because it says in the Pasuk LaChoshech Karo Laila, but nevertheless there are exceptions to that rule, mostly in Mo'adim and in Kachim. In Mo'adim and Kachim, your definition of Yom and Laila is going to be not Yom, not Ar and Choshech, but rather Hama'or HaGadol, and therefore the day ends with Shkiyas HaChama.
Now, but with these mitzvot, we're saying that it's valid from Alas HaShachar. Does that mean it's also valid until Tetzach HaKavim? So with these mitzvahs, you could actually do until you could do a bris milah up until Tetzach HaKavim.
Right. That's what it would seem from this sugya. Because again, keep in mind, Reb Zera is interpreting both the beginning of Yom and the end of Yom.
Right.
And he builds himself on this pasuk in Nehemiah, and the pasuk in Nehemiah says Tetzach HaKavim is when the day ends. And he's explaining our Mishnah, that our Mishnah says that in Kulam, what's the language of the Mishnah? Im Asu, Sha'asu Mi'achola Amura Shachar Kosher. And Kosher refers explicitly to Mila here. So again, it doesn't say anything about after Shkia, but if Rabbi Zera is building his whole definition of Yom as far as the initiation of Yom, the beginning of Yom, on this pasuk that says Amud HaShachar, Alos HaShachar, then Yom ends with Tseis HaKochavim. Again, it was a tremendous hav. See, now let's understand the hav amina. The hav amina was that Inu Makadmi Umachashke. Notice how the Gemara says both. It says Makadmi and Machashke. Right. Why? Because then the Gemara is using a different definition of Yom Malayla, and that depends on the Ma'or HaGadol. So the fact that they stayed until Tseis was only because Machashke, they wanted to add extra time period. Or the fact that they began their work before what? Before Hanetzach Chama, that's because of Makadmeh, they wanted to add time. But otherwise, it would have begun, their work there would have begun with Hanetzach Chama and ended with Shkiyas HaChama. In other words, in the Havamina, we were applying the definition of Yom V'Laila, which depends upon the Ma'or HaGadol. And the reason for that is because when we sign a contract, we're signing a contract based on a certain period of time. And whenever you're defining a period of time, you're going to use the moed, which the Torah uses the word b'moedim, as your definition. Kamashma no. that although in Moedim that might be true, but if you're talking about universal mitzvos or let's say monetary obligations and contract law and so forth and so on, there we have a different definition of Yom V'Laila, which depends on Achoshech Kar Olayla. And Achoshech Kar Olayla is only after Seis HaKochav. So obviously we're just touching, you know, we're scratching the surface. I mean, this is... you know, the Gemara very often calls the period of time between Shkia and Seis Bein HaShemashos. And that's called Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. What the Gemara means by Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila means that in every single case you have to decide what your definition of Yom Laila is, because there are two different operative definitions of Yom Laila. They're both recognized by the Torah. And in each case we're going to have a Sofik. You know, do we go it this way? Do we go that way? And sometimes you might find elements of Yom even after Shkia Sacham. You might have elements of Laila after Shkia Sacham because the sun is no longer on the horizon. Okay. Now, this Mishnah is sort of the flip, you know, it's like the extension of the previous Mishnah. There's a long discussion here in the Mefarshim about why the Gemara splits between this Mishnah that we're learning now and the Mishnah that we learned yesterday. And in addition, it's a little confusing because we had a list of mitzvos hayom. Let's just go back for a second in our Mishnah here on Chof Amin Aleph that included Megillah, Mila, Tvila, and Hazah. And Shomeres Yom was a separate chiddush, if you remember. So there are only four mitzvahs listed over here. And yet in this Mishnah, you have a long, long list. I mean, basically, the remaining time that we have today, we're going to spend on going through this list. So that's also a lack of clarity here as to why our Mishnah has a much, much longer list than the previous Mishnah. But what is the subject of this Mishnah here on Chaf Amid Beis? So there's a Rashi and there's a Shagas Aryeh. You know, it's funny to say those two in one breath. I mean, they were separated by, by 7 or 8 centuries. But Rashi understands that the Chiddush of our Mishnah is to give us a list of mitzvahs that apply to the day. In other words, which mitzvahs require day? The next Mishnah is going to talk about which mitzvahs require Laila. But the Shagas Aryeh claims that There's more to it than that the Mishnah in some cases wants to tell me a chiddush that the entire day is kosher for that mitzvah. Like for example, we're going to talk about Tfilas Musaf. So if you look in the Masechta, in Masechta Brachos on Daf Chavav, the Mishnah there records Machlokes Shin Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Suffice it to say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the latest time for Musaf is Ad Sheva Shos, until the seventh hour. And yet our Mishnah doesn't even blink here. It doesn't even make any reference to Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. The assumption in our Mishnah is that Tfilas Musaf is Kasher Kol Hayom, which in fact is the way we paskin. But according to Shagas Aryeh, our Mishnah is coming to Mechadesh, not that Tfilas Musaf is a mitzvah sayom so much, which seems to be Rashi's approach here, but rather that if it's a mitzvah sayom, it's a mitzvah throughout the entire day. It's not just part of the day. And basically, the Shagas Aryeh is going to do an analysis of our Mishnah. He's going to divide up our Mishnah into two different categories. Very creative, Shagas Aryeh. And he says that there's one category where the Mishnah just wants to tell you you need Yom, and you're not Yotzei Belaila. And there are another categories where he's telling you that you can fulfill this mitzvah until the end of the day. Now again, if you can ask me when is the beginning of the day, when's the end of the day, we're under the influence of Rabbi Zeira, and the day begins with Amud HaShachar and ends with Tzeis HaKochav. So let's go through the Mishnah. Kol Hayom Kosher L'Kriyas HaMegillah. And Rashi seems to be learning that the Chiddush is that Laila is Lavzman Kriyas HaMegillah. So it means if you read the Megillah at night, that would not cover you for the mitzvah of Megillah. You need a Megillah reading by day. And what would be if you read the Megillah after Amud HaShachar? That would be too late for Megillas Laila, but it would be b'dievin, at least you'd be Yotze with Megillas Yom.
An interesting situation, because you could have a situation where you could do Kriyas Megillah and say Halal and hear the shofar and Lulav before you put on, well, Lulav and shofar wouldn't matter, but Halal and Megillah before you put on Talis Tefillin.
So tell us a little, might depend on
a little on
a Isa also,
right?
you wouldn't put on film if you had to.
Megillah, even.
Halal
on Rosh Chodesh.
So you want to talk about tefillin? I don't know if I'm
going to.
You wouldn't be able to. Honestly, you wouldn't be shaking loose.
I know. Okay, I'm sorry.
I want to tell you, for the salary that they're giving me for this year, I'm not going to talk to you about tefillin.
No.
I'm not going to talk about tefillin. I put in a lot of work on this mission, but I didn't talk about tefillin.
I just thought it's an interesting, you know, because you have usually a little, you wait a little longer. Sorry.
All right.
No.
I'm just kidding with you. But, you know, sometimes you guys are great, you know, you ask me questions and I'm not the biggest Talmud Chacham, you know, if I, you know,
it's okay,
you
know,
this is great,
you know,
get by the Mishnah, I'm happy, you know. I also happen to be saying a few other shiur during the course of the day.
No, I think sometimes
I won't tell you how many shiur I say in an average
day. You just ask a question because it's something that
please, I'm also saying, don't, this year's for you, it's not for me, and I appreciate all your questions, but at the same time, I'm always trying to, you know, try to see what I could know.
That's fine. It's okay.
This is great.
We come with no expectation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Trust me, if it wasn't good, we wouldn't be coming back.
That's right. You'd be dumping me. Yeah.
We're not just coming.
And you wouldn't even wait. You wouldn't even wait until it says like a comment to dump me. All right. So kol hayom kasher l'kriya samigilu. Now, we mentioned before, I don't know if you were here, that the Magen Avraham has a very unique shita, and he says that B'Shas HaTchak, if you didn't hear the Megillas Lailo until after Alos HaShachar, you could be Yotze. And it's considered Kriyas Lailo. And he bases himself on Halacha in Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema says in the Gemara Brachos that if you didn't read Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, you could read it after Amud HaShachar as long as it's before Hanetzach Hama. And the later poskim get very upset with this Magen Avraham, because the Adafrayim and others, because Kriyat Shema is different. Nowhere does the Torah say that Kriyat Shema is beyom v'alayla. It says b'shavuch of kumecha, which means it depends on zman shchiva and zman kiva. So it could be zman shchiva could extend even past Amud HaShachar. You could be yotzei Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis even after Amud HaShachar before Hanetz. But as far as other dinim, like for example Mikra Megillah is concerned, Amud HaShachar is already Yom, that was the sugya of Reb Zera that we started with today, and therefore if you read the Megillah after Amud HaShachar, it's a very good candidate for Megillah's Yom, but it would not work for Megillah's Lailah. But just mentioning to you that the Magen Avraham would paskin. So I would tell you, if you haven't found yourself in this situation, in Tzal, it happens, I can tell you this, that you weren't able to read the Megillah at night, but it's before Hanetz, I would read the Megillah without a bracha in such a case, based on this Magen Avraham. It would not be an exercise of futility. I would postpone the bracha until after Hanetz HaChama to fulfill Rashi's Shita, because Rashi's Shita is that Megillah's Yom should be postponed until after Hanetz HaChama, because we really don't know whether it's Yom or Laila until after Hanetz. Now, every single case in our Mishnah is going to be derived from Sukkim. And again, it's always going to say the word Yom, and we had a long discussion that the word Yom, as a general rule, says as Fasemis, excludes Lilas. L'kriyas HaHalel, L'tkiyas Shofar, L'netilas Lulav, all these mitzvahs require Yom. We're going to go through them one by one. Few points that I wanted to make in passing over here. Number one, it's very interesting that the Turi Eben has a long discussion here about Tkia Shofar Shel Yovel. Once every 50 years they blew the shofar for the Jubilee year, to announce the Jubilee year. Does that ring a bell to you?
Yes.
Yeah. And the Shagasari claims that this Mishnah here is not just limited to Tkia Shofar Rosh Hashanah, but it refers even to Tkia Shofar of Yovel. That's point number one that I wanted to mention to you. Another point I wanted to mention to you is that when it says Netilas Lulav here, Rashi seems to assume that we're talking about the first day of Sukkot, meaning the mitzvah d'oraisa v'lkachta melchem yom harishon. But the Shagasari points out that this Mishnah is referring to another mitzvah d'oraisa, which applies not just on the first day of Sukkot, but to take the lulav for all 7 days. Does anybody remember what that mitzvah is? I'm just quizzing you. Since you're asking me about tefillin,
is that at the base of Mikdash?
Yes, in the Beis Hamikdash, because the pasuk says, "Usmachtem lifnei Hashem alkechem shivas yomim." So that's also included.
That was just the love. That wasn't the Aramim, right? That they just, but wasn't it?
No, it's the old Dalit Min. Old Dalit. And then there was a separate mitzvah of Zekifas Arava on the Mizbeach. But in any event, I just wanted to point out to you that Lefiani is Daiti, this point of the Turi Evan that the Mishnah is referring to Shivas Yomim B'Migdash is a bit of a chiddush to me. I was wondering about it because I'm not sure if your definition of Yom in the Migdash is the same as your definition of the Yom in Gvul and outside of the Migdash. If you follow my point, remember we spoke about two definitions of Yom. So I was thinking that it could be that as far as Netilas Lulav and Migdash, Usmachtem Lufnei Hashem Lekech Meshivas Yomim, for that you would have to wait till Anetzach Hama, because then you would press the button of Hama Ora Gadol Memshel Sayom. The Shakasari is not agreeing with me. You know, so whatever I tell you, just forget it. But because I can't argue with the Shakasari, he's one of the greatest minds in Ashkenazic history.
Well, you know. Rashi disagrees with him, so, you know, it's...
Yeah, because so
you
Rashi...
Had one, you had some...
Rashi's not learning that we're talking about Migdash here. So I don't know. Based on Migdash, I wonder if your definition of Yom is identical.
This, although then they... But then if they're going on in the Mishnah, though, then it talks about... Musafin, Lubidui, Hapari. These are all things in the Mikdash. So if these are things in the Mikdash, wouldn't they be...
Right, so that's the Shagasari wants to say that Musaf, the Chiddush of Musaf, is not the beginning of the time for Musaf, or the requirement of the time for Musaf, you know, the precondition meaning wait for Yom. That's not the subject of this Mishnah of Musaf. The subject of the Mishnah of Musaf is that you can bring the carbon Musaf until the end of the day.
Right.
But you're right. Even if I accept the Shagasai till the end of the day, then it means until Shkiyas Achava.
The argument against him would be, then why not put Lulav after Tfilat Musafin? Because Tfilat Musafin, that's something clearly that's not in the Mikdash. That's everywhere.
So one second. You're asking one question.
I have
a different question. Yeah. I was wondering why it says Tfilas Musaf first and then Musafin. After all, Tfilas Musaf is patterned after the Karbon Musaf, so you should have started with the Ikar.
But this seems to be making... Well, that supports in some way the view that this does involve in the Mikdash, because it's making a distinction perhaps between things outside the Mikdash and things inside the Mikdash.
Well, if it is making that distinction, it's not crystal clear.
But if that is the case, then why put the lulav before? Because it seems like you've grouped. There's a whole bunch of things that occur anywhere. A whole bunch of things that occur.
So wait, according to Shagasari, the Tilas Lulav includes Gvulin and Mikdash. That's both included in this requirement of Yom.
Right.
In the case of Musaf, we have two dinim. We have, and the Mishnah goes ahead and differentiates between the. Well, I shouldn't say differentiates, but sets it up as two different categories. There's one category called Tfilas Musaf, and the other category is called Musaf. So I can just tell you this: the Mefarshim want to know why did the Mishnah start with Tfilas Musaf, which is only Darabanan, and then go to Musaf, which is obviously Doraisa, and they say something very interesting that. That anything that's Darabonin is more Chaviv than something that's Doraisa. Do you remember that principle? Like at the beginning of Masechta Brachos, I mean the first Daf and Shas, it says that I need the Chavivale Kadmale, that whenever you have something that has a more of a Chavivus, like it's if it's derived from a Drasha and it's not explicit in the Torah. In any event, as I said before, the Chiddush of Tfilas Musaf is that you can daven Tfilas Musaf the entire day. Now the entire day here might mean until Tzeisach Kochavim, but I would insist that that's not so, because if it's patterned after Tfilas Musaf, after Karba Musaf, then we have a principle, which is Doraisa, called Dam Nifsal B'Shkiya Sachama. There's no way you could bring a Musaf after Shkiya Sachama.
We'll
have Hector Chalom Veimarim after Shkiya, but not Musaf.
So because the next thing is Musafin, it's talking about the Karba Musaf. So does that mean that this Mishnah, therefore, does that take this whole Mishnah out of Rav Zera's principle of defining the Yom of the day?
Well, again, you know, I messed up here because I told you the Shagasari. Before the Shagasari, this Mishnah is not telling you when does day begin and when does day end. That's not the subject of this Mishnah. before the Shagasari, the subject of this Mishnah is which mitzvahs require day, as opposed to the next Mishnah was going to, the subject of which is which right. mitzvahs require Lila. But I confused you, and confused myself too, because I introduced the Shagasari. The Shagasari says, yes, it's true that some of these mitzvahs here listed in the Mishnah are telling you that you need day and not night. Others are telling you that it goes from a certain point until a certain point. And that's what's confusing us, because you know, because then we get into a big mess over here. Why? Because the Mishnah is not Miksha Achas. On the one hand, the Mishnah would mention, let's say, Megillah. Megillah begins with Amud HaShachar and goes until Tzeis. On the other hand, it mentions Tfilas Musaf and Karban Musaf. Karban Musaf would not begin, I don't think would begin with Amud HaShachar. I don't think it would end with Tzeis HaKodesh. Well,
I think what's confusing me is that this is following right after the Gemara with Rav Zera, but really, this is a Mishnah. It doesn't, just because it's here doesn't mean it
correct.
It's connected to the Gemara before.
Correct. It's only the Shagasari right. who makes this connection.
Right. So this,
you know, the Shagasari lived 200 years ago, but until the Shagasari came, when we learned this Mishnah for 1500 years, you know,
the Mishnah is there. It doesn't say what day, which day definition of day applies to each.
Exactly.
It's just saying that
the Mishnah is not telling you right. from what time
okay.
until what time.
Okay. So I got to get out of the mindset.
Right. Right. That's the thing. So I sort of messed up by introducing the Shagasari, you know. Anyway, Ulevidui Haparim.
I mean, but you said it right.
How are we doing in terms of time?
Rashi.
Oh, good.
No, but you said it right in the beginning. Like, there's a gap between Rashi and Shagasari. How they're learning is also completely different.
Right. And well, again, the Shagasari is not saying it for everything in the Mishnah. He admits that in certain cases, and that seems to be the general rule,
right.
the Mishnah is just establishing that you need Yom.
Right.
But in other cases, he wants to set the bounds of Yom.
Right.
You know, those are the exceptions.
Well, as his Kiddush, he's seen a connection, and he had to say it. So
right. So let's go on to Vidui Parim. Okay, now Vidui Parim, we're talking about what's called a partial tzibur. Later on, we're going to see in the Mishnah the case of a korban yachid. But right now, we're talking about a korban tzibur. Now, which par is brought as a korban tzibur?
I thought the parim was for the kohen.
So this is called a par helim dover shel tzibur. What happened was, and we're going to have another similar case with the Par Shel Mashiach, Shel Kohen Mashiach, which you're talking about. But first, let me get through Par Helim Dover Shel Tzibur. The case is, let me just read to you the Psukim. The Psukim say the following. This is in Vayikra Perek Dal. V'im Kol Adas Yisrael Yishku. What happened was the Beis Din gave a Horah, and it was a mistaken Horah, and the entire people of Israel based themselves on this Horah, and they violated, let's say, an Isur Kares, Bishogeg, V'nelem HaDover Me'enei HaKol, V'yashomo, V'nodo'o HaChatos Asher Chadu Aleho, if they find out, when they find out, is V'krivu HaKahal Par Ben Bokor L'Chatos, V'yivu Oso Lifnei Oil Moed, V'somchu Ziknei Oedos Yideim HaRosh HaPar. And now we're up to what's called V'somchu, which is the mitzvah of Smicha. And they appointed someone to be the representative of Klal Yisrael to do the smicha. But the main thing is not the smicha, that's not our subject, but rather what's called the vidui. The vidui, on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, was recited over the par, b'shas smich, before shchita. We're talking about a par helim dover shel tzibur. Now, par helim dover shel tzibur is a masecht unto itself. I'm just pointing out that the psukim indicate that you need yom, as we're going to soon see. Okay, now we have another case of a par shel tzibur, and that's called par kohen mashiach, and that means that the pasuk says over there, the same parak in Vayikra Dal, it says im kohen mashiach yechtor liashmasa om v'hikriv eschatos osher choto. Par ben bokar vehevius ad par el pesach ol moi v'samach es yodo rosh par. This is also a korban that's brought with a vidui on the par, and this is because the kohen himself violated a very severe isur b'shogeg, and now we have two categories of parim, both of which, that's why the Mishnah says parim in plural, both of which require vidui b'shas smicha. And vidui means he has to recite a confession on his sin. or in the case of the parhel of Dov Shel Tzibur, the sin of the Tzibur. Now, the Achronim here don't understand this Mishnah, and I can't answer that question. There's no reason in the world why the Mishnah should mention Vidui Parim. There's halacha Vidui on every single karban. Maybe you have something in your notes. I can't figure this out for the life of me. Why the Mishnah?
I mean, it mentions that the Gemara learns this from Gzeirah Shavah to the par from Yom Kippur. But
all right, we're going to get to the par Yom Kippur soon. But I'm just saying the halacha that Vidui is a requisite. And it's got to be biyom at the time of smicha. That's universal. That applies to every single karban. There's no such thing as a karban without smicha and vidui.
Well, except that aren't these different. They're more like these are a separate category in that, unlike a regular korban chatas, you just do on the mizbeach.
You mean it might be a chatos pnimis?
This one is right.
Okay.
This one,
but again, the emphasis here is not on the mizbeach. The emphasis is on the vidui.
But it's a separate. I guess maybe because it's a separate category.
So we're supposed to learn it with the kal vachomer, and how much more so other vidui? I don't know. All right. Anyway, then we go on to a different kind of vidui, a whole different kind of vidui. Vidui, by definition, means confession of sin. Is that true? Anybody agree with me on that?
Yeah.
All right, so it's wrong. What I just told you is absolutely wrong. Vidui does not mean confession of sin. And I'll prove it to you. Look at the next two words in that Mishnah. It says vidui maser. Now let's just understand. The Shemitah year is divided up into two sections. Right? The Shemitah cycle, I should say. Right. And we have the first 3 years and then the end of the second 3 years. So when we end the first 3 years, we do a vidui maser that's called Erev Pesach Shel Shana Revias. And then at the end of the second cycle of 3 years, we do another vidui maser at the entering into Erev Pesach of Shana Shvias. And now this is all has to do with Bir Maisers, which means that at the end of the 3 year period, I take all my Maiser, and then I say quote unquote Vidui. What do I say Vidui? This apostle in Kitovo, Bi Arti Hakodesh Minabayis, which means I did exactly what I had to do. So he's got three explanations for why that's called Vidui. After all, he's not confessing, he's claiming he did exactly what he has to do.
No, but it's a vidui is not necessarily a personal confession of sin. A vidui
is a recitation, really, of
like a status. If you think of
how do you define vidui?
Vidui maaser is like, I did this and not.
How do you define vidui? So he claims here, that's his first answer, that vidui is lashon hodah, which I'm thanking Hashem. Now, what's the connection between thanking Hashem and confessing sin? So it's a bit of a stretch.
In
other words, in lashon kodesh,
but it's not esrei, right? We have a korban leads to a hodah. We have modim after.
The fact you're using one word in lashon kodesh has two meanings. Now, whenever you have one word in lashon kodesh, I mean, the Malbim made a whole discipline out of this, right? And others as well. But that you have one word that has two meanings. Those two meanings have to be. It's not identical, they have to have one single root, one common root. What's the common root in between confession and thanksgiving?
For confession leads to, in other words, confession leads to slicha. So you're really kind of just like you're supposed to say bless God, bless Kadosh Baruch Hu for the good and the bad, right? So this is the bad. So it's a flip side.
Let me give you a few other answers to this question. We're going to have to start. But he quotes a Tosis Yontif in Masechta Maaser Sheni, who says in the name of the Sfarno in Parshas Ki Tovo, Shenikra Vidui Mishim Shebohu Misvada Al Chet HaEgel Shegoram Sheyetzarech Laseis Truvos of Maasers LaLevim VeLakohanim VeEino Nosein LeBachar Beso. Listen to this, Rabbi Osai. If not for the Chet HaEgel, I would have given my Truvos of Maaser to my own son. My oldest son, I don't know what happens if your oldest is a girl, I don't know. But anyway, so you have a Bechor Beisam. But because of the Cheta Egel, therefore, we have to be Motzi as HaKodesh Min HaBayis. Right? That's the Lashon of the Vidui. Biyarti as HaKodesh Min HaBayis. I got to take it out of my house. I can't give it to my oldest son, my firstborn. I have to give it to the Kohen Levi.
But by that, then the root, then the shorish isn't Hoda, then by that.
Not at all. Yeah. He's learning that it's confession. Literally now, confession.
But going back to the Vidui Parim, the reason this is here then would be because you're listing what other situations of Vidui do we have?
I could say if I bring a Korban Chatas, I have to recite Vidui. It's got to be by day, not by night.
Right.
If I bring a Korban Asha, I mean, you can go on and on and on. Even a Korban Ola requires Vidui. I mean,
okay.
I'm just saying that it's a little bit odd that he chooses these two karbanos. You want to call them chatas primius, that's fine, but it's halach in vidu, it's not halach in which mizbeach. But what I wanted to share with you, I know we have to end here, but my Rebbe Zichrono Livracha, Rav Soloveitchik, used to say the following, that why is Biyarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis called vidu in the Lashon HaMishnah? And he said the following, that you cannot confess sin. It's a very profound idea. Unless you admit your potential. If you don't recognize how great you could be, there's no room for vidu. I come in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and I say, you know what? I'm this lowly guy. I'm flesh and blood. I'm just influenced by every single wind that passes by. And so I guess you're not ready for vidu. He used to quote the pasuk, Shchora Aniven Avah Benos Yishalayim. Unless you're willing to say that in this mitzvah of Meiser, Asisi Kechol Asher Tzivisane, that indicates what potential I have. I lived up to all my requirements. That's the Yisod of Vidui. Now you're ready for confession. Until you recognize what your potential is, that you can reach greatness and you can achieve it all, there's no room for Vidui. Okay, it's a very profound idea. I mean, it took him an hour to say it. I said it in 60 seconds.
A regular.
With the regular Korban Chatas and all the or Korbanos, the Vidui occurs in Smicha, right?
Right.
So later in the mission, it says Smicha has to occur. So it does cover all the others. I guess it's separating out the ones that are Pnimi then.
Maybe,
because they're.
Maybe. I don't know.
They're special.
I don't know. Maybe we'll be smarter by tomorrow. I'll tell you, sometimes I'm in this fall that they don't ask such basic questions here,